parties before, so I don't know.
Yeah, you just sit around and talk about it. I mean, that's okay. Just how this goes. So
is this where the monkeys break in? We go, the monkeys! We got the freaking monkeys in the room!
I think we got plenty of monkeys in the room now.
two of them, hairless monkeys.
Yes, the big hairless apes. So, David Wilson, founder of SFS, which stands for Software Freedom Society
or something.
What exactly is SFS?
SFS is an effort to bring together some people that know stuff about free software and people that want to learn stuff about free software. And often those are the same people. One people will have an expertise in a particular thing. Like my thing is Linux. I like to think that I know a few things about mostly systems administration of enterprise Linux. But other people know about other things. We have friends that know Ruby, friends that know Python, friends that know Blender, friends that know GIMP. And my hope is to get those friends into a circle of friends so that we can do classes, get together people to do hacker hours on a particular topic and make sure that there's an expert present, or even better, put together an actual class. Recently, we did a four-day retreat called Linux Camp and did an exam at the end of that where one of our guys actually became LPIC 1 certified, and then a few others got half an LPIC. So we have a whole bunch of LPIC 0.5s and one new LPIC 1 in the world.
So you're talking about free software. Why not just software in general?
Well, I thought that there are plenty of schools out there that are already doing that. There are plenty of organizations out there that will teach you proprietary software, but there are maybe not as many that are interested in and in sync with the philosophy of free software. And so I thought, well, wouldn't it be neat to put together a kind of a school or a kind of a university where it is entirely in sync with the free software ideals, where not only are we interested only in teaching free software, but we teach it in a free software way, where the class is free as in speech, just like the topic of the class. So we've got the materials that the student can take, and they're not only allowed to take those materials and build their own class, they're not only allowed to take those materials and lend them out to their coworkers or record the session and play it for their coworkers, they're even encouraged to. So we're going as far away from per seat as possible.
Oh, excellent. What else have you done within SFS? I heard about Linux Camp. What else have we got in the pipeline?
Well, we did a one-day session on Ruby. We did a one-day session on Python. We did a one-day session on Blender. We've done one-day sessions on Puppet two or three times now. And we did a one-day session on Linux.
So how can people get in touch with you?
Email, of course, always works. So dlwilson@thegeek.nu. And then we have a website, which we're just now building at sofree.us. And Gary's building that for us, or Garheed.
And resident webhead.
Okay.
So
what was the question? I lost track of the question.
So how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, okay. So we have our website at sofree.us. They can always email me, dlwilson@thegeek.nu. They could just go ahead and join our mailing list, which is sfs@thegeek.nu, by sending an email to sfs-request, I think it is, @thegeek.nu. So I think it's sfs-request@thegeek.nu. Oh, there's a great long URL that I could read that will take them to the info page for the SFS mailing list, but we'll forego that.
We could also put the SFS mailing list requests on sofree.us as well.
And we could do show notes.
Yes.
Should we do show notes?
Probably.
Okay.
So, what does the Software Freedom something have in the works in the future?
What are we have a project to do a PyLab. We'd like to, do a, can I say the town?
Sure.
Okay. So we're hoping to do a PyLab, not necessarily on the Raspberry Pi. We could use the BeagleBone Black, or we could use, another single board computer, but we'd like to do a lab where we get a bunch of the kids from the Lafayette Middle School together and spend maybe an evening or maybe a Saturday morning and build up a network of Linux-based computers and then play a game together or maybe do some scratch programming or something.
Be kind of fun. Let's see. Now, SFS just isn't David L. Wilson. It's also comprised of a few other people.
One of whom is sitting across the table from me.
That would be me. That's Troy Ridgely. I am kind of just the IT geek of SFS at the moment and trying to make anything and everything work. We also have our wonderful webmaster, David, or not David. Oh, boy, I'm going to really screw that
up. No, I'm David.
You're David.
I'm David.
Okay,
he's Gary.
Strike that one. Ooh. We also have a wonderful webmaster by the name of Gary Romero.
Garheed.
Garheed. And don't forget the wonderful and always charming...
Lovely.
And lovely, Heather Wilson.
Heather Wilson. Heather Lee Wilson. Chief Cook.
Future projects. What else we got? We got the PyLab we're going to try and do. We want to do more online learning. We're also in the midst of working on virtual study groups for LPIC 102.
And I'm trying to get us a GIMP teacher, but I'm having a very, very hard time getting him interested in doing one more big GIMP project. He wants to quit.
No, oh, wow.
I don't know if you've seen my book, but we have locally an expert on the GIMP. His name is Mike Hamill.
Oh, nice.
And he wrote The Artist's Guide to the GIMP. And I'm trying to get him to do one more big GIMP thing, but he doesn't want to. He wants to move to nothing but embedded Linux all the time. So it's a hard sell.
Okay. So, David Wilson, you mentioned Linux Camp earlier in the program. Can you expand more about that? And what did we actually do at Linux Camp?
One of my dream for a few years has been to take a few geeks out of civilization and take them out into the out into the nature and give them a few days where they can both immerse themselves in a technology that they want to learn more about and then in the breaks get straight away from the dull gray material and the dull gray stone walls of whatever we're learning or of the Linux.
To get away not only completely immerse themselves within the technology, but also completely cut themselves off from it as soon as possible during the camp.
And to be able to take a real break and get out into the sunshine and breathe deeply and maybe throw a frisbee for a few seconds. And I really wanted to take care of them and get them completely away from the sometimes cold business-like atmosphere that training facilities can be. And so what we did was we rented a cabin at YMCA Snow Mountain Ranch, and you, me, Heather, Gary, and 10 other people, 11 students and 3 staffers, or no, sorry, 10 students and 4 staffers, went up there, and Heather did all of the cooking, and I did most of the teaching, and then we had Ross Brunson from LPI come up on the fourth day and deliver an awesome exam prep, and then a paper-based exam at the very end of it. And for the first 3 days, we did a really hands-on almost all hands-on Linux learning experience, where it was just lab after lab after lab, where we would take what's a task that you would actually be asked to do in the real world, like maybe building a server, and then do that in the classroom. And I would do it before in front of the students before the students had to do it, and I would talk my way through it and talk about the different things that you might want to consider as you were solving that kind of a business problem. And then finally, I would turn it over to the students, and then in pairs, the students would work on the lab. And the reason why we did it, it did things in pairs, and the reason why I think that that really works well as a learning method is that people of very similar experience levels have a tendency to speak a similar language. So when you have two people that are relatively new to Linux, they're able to share knowledge back and forth much more effectively than an expert and a relative novice. So if you pair up an expert with a relative novice, then a lot of times the novice will get value out of it, but maybe the high expert might not. And what I found is that you don't get a lot of loss by putting two relative novices together, because they're still able to share what they are learning and share it in a more similar language.
Well, that's really cool. What else did the Linux camp cover?
We covered all of the objectives of the LPI. We didn't completely cover it. What we did was we started putting the class together 3 months before the first day of Linux camp. And once we had all the students enrolled, or most of the students enrolled, we started study groups. And we went through the Linux Plus Study Guide, 2013 edition, which I think is the third edition. And we would get together on a weekly basis and cover one chapter worth of material, so that the people that were less familiar could really get geared up before Linux camp. 4 days is simply not enough time to cover all the material in the LPI 101 and LPI 102 exams, and both of those exams are necessary to get the certification. So during that 4 days, we covered all of the objectives of both of those exams, but at a very high real world level. So we built a virtualized three-node network with server 1, server 2, and workstation 1. We used CentOS 6.4 for server 1, I think, and Debian 7.1 for server 2, and Ubuntu 12.04 for workstation 1. And we did a ton of labs on those three machines. We did it. Of course, the build out itself was pretty challenging, and then we networked the three machines together and managed their host files and set up some basic services on the machines.
Yeah, you definitely ran them through a gauntlet, especially, you know, 14 students going through and saying, okay, now I've got to build this virtual machine. Now I've got to make it work with the other virtual machines that I've built. Now I've got to tie these all together and talk to the file servers that we have out there. It was definitely a lot of fun and interesting, and the way you presented it was definitely exciting, and it went into great detail. It was a blast.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to teach it. One other little detail was every morning at 9 a.m. we played a song to start the day.
And what song was that, David?
That was Rusty Cage by Johnny Cash, which is a cover of a Rusty Cage by Soundgarden. And that became one of your favorite songs, didn't it, Troy?
Oh, absolutely. I loved every 5 minutes and 13 seconds of that song. It gave me just another bit of time to go out and enjoy the rest of my coffee in the morning. Well, that's great. Looking forward to more Linux camps in the future.
So am I.
Great.
I want to try to find a way to, as everything that can be done on a gift basis, I want to find a way to do it on a gift basis. But that is really hard to do when I'm also trying to fit into the business world. I want students that are sponsored by a business to be able to come to my classes, and it's important to keep the school running too. So a school that goes broke doesn't keep running.
Exactly.
And so this run of Linux Camp, we had to go with a very simple for pay model, where every seat was $19.50 with various discounts applicable. And that was able to bring the price down as far as $1,500 for each student. But wouldn't it be great if someday we could find a way to either get corporate sponsorship or something so that we could do the class on a gift level? And then people that don't have as much, they don't have a bunch of disposable cash of their own, and they don't have a corporate sponsor, can still get to that class. Because those are the people, in one sense, those are the people that I most want to put these classes out for. I want them to hear about it and go, man, I really wish that I could do that, and then be able to do it. One possible model that I've thought of is we could let people that don't have cash help us with the actual work of building SFS, where instead of paying the money, we can give them a credit to work off, where they work on the website or they work on the mailing list or whatever. But then that creates an additional challenge of, well, what exactly do we have them do if they don't know stuff?
Yeah, it's always good to train the entry level as well.
Yeah. And it gets them experience.
Indeed. You
know? Oh, I worked for SFS for 15 hours, or not 15 hours, but I worked for SFS for 100 hours to pay for my seat in the class. And
now I'm LPIC certified.
And now I'm LPIC certified, and Troy Ridgely said I did a really great job.
Yeah. There you go. That's great. Again, to contact us, reach us at dlwilson@thegeek.nu. You can always reach him at his website, sofree.us. And you can get on the mailing list, which will be, the request should be on a link on the sofree.us here shortly. Excellent. Well, David, it has been a pleasure. It's always been. Always has been. And we look forward to more additional podcasts from you soon.
All right. We'll put together another one soon.
Excellent. This is the SFS podcast, finally signing off.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.